Okay, what's the first thing we have to do? Right. Bow your heads together with me, please, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, one more time we bow in front of your throne, not because we're allowed to by anything that we've done, Father, but through the grace and the crucifixion and the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, nothing we do will get us into heaven, but we understand that there is a certain obedience required. Thank you, Father, for dying for us while we were yet in sin. Thank you, Lord, that it is through the grace of Christ that we enter into heaven and not through anything that we can do. For Father, if heaven was made up of our works, heaven would not be what it is. Tonight, Lord, we look at a new facet of this deception. I take your children that are here tonight, all of those that are going to watch the DVDs, wherever they may be in the world, Lord, I take them tonight into the business world. Lord, help us understand what's going on so that we can see, Father, the only safety, the only safe haven is Jesus Christ. Please be with us tonight, Father, as we enter into this subject, and may your peace remain in this hall and bless us. Forgive our sins and walk in between each of the pews tonight and speak truth into our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is tonight's lecture called? A battle for the mind. Right? Battle of the mind, battle for the mind sounds like a slight difference, but there is a difference and I'll explain to you why. Have you all read the screen? So you're not going to take offense if I tell somebody, when your cell phone rings, to please put your cell phones off. Somebody the other night took offense when I said, please turn your cell phone off. That's why I've now put it on the screen, that you don't take offense when I ask you when it does ring. Right. Where did we start off the very first night? Give me the lecture title. I can't hear you. Who is the Antichrist? The second one? The seat of the dragon. The third one? Unity towards the east. The fourth one? Islam and all of that, right? The last night one? Poison in the passion. Now, how many of those lectures were aimed into the religious community? All of them, right? Now, the reason I did that is because religion is an absolutely critical and essential part of our communication mechanism with who we are, with what we are, with what we do, etc. But our religion is a portion of who we are. So what I had to do the very first night, and I'll explain this hopefully on Friday night again. The very first night, I had to rip the carpet out from every single one in the audience by proving to you something which is not often taught, and that's who's the Antichrist, which we found out was whom? I can't hear you. The Pope, the papacy, right. That was such an unbelievable topic that we then looked the very next night, we looked at the second subject, which was, can we find any links, any proof to show that that's the case? And did we find it, yes or no? Yes, we found it. So those two are aimed at sort of biblical proof of who the opposition is to Jesus Christ. That's the source of the deception, yes or no? Right, so we leave those. The third night I went into Christianity and I found his satanic finger fiddling in Christianity, yes or no? The very next evening I went into all the other religions, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, yes or no? And now last night I started to transition from the religious aspect towards the media because I went into the movie. Yes, it was a religious movie, but it was more media based to show you what they're putting in your subconscious. Subconscious without you actually knowing, right? So I've taken a transition. Last night was a pivot evening from religion towards the answer to the problem. Terrorism is based on two questions. You think of September 11th. What did most of the people ask? Why? Why? And there's just no answer. That's why it's terrorism, because it's psychological. Why? And then there's the next question. So what now? Does that make sense? The so what now happens to be the FICA Act and the various things that they've done to try and secure us. By the way, I'm dealing with September 11th tomorrow night. So please don't miss that. But the two questions we're asking is why? And I've had so many people come to me and say, why? Right? I've experienced these things in my own church, in my own service, in my own Christian experience, and now you're telling me it's a lie? No, I'm not telling you it's a lie. The Word is saying, please be careful and lest no man deceive you. Don't get cross with Christ, and don't get cross with me. Get cross at Satan, right? It's him that's been lying to you, not anyone else. So if you want to get cross with him, but come in line with the will of God. So the first and the second night, I showed you who the Antichrist was, and I gave you overwhelming proof that it exists. The second night, I went into Christianity. The third night, I went into all the other religions to show you that they're just as deceived as you are, right? There's no finger pointing. Now we sit and we say, so what now? Yes or no? Come back on Friday night and you'll get the what now. Because from the religious aspect, swapping over last night into the media, tonight I'm going to take you deeper into the media, but I'm also going to take you into business. And religion, business, and tomorrow night I'm going to take you into politics. And I'm going to, this whole week, from when did we start? What was it? Friday night. From Friday night right up to tomorrow night, all I'm doing is I'm breaking down pillars. Things that you currently believe in, which are actually a ball of hot air. Right? You're taught to believe in certain things. All I'm doing is I'm ripping out those false pillars of support, one by one, whether it's in your beliefs, in your whatever it is. And all, when this thing comes tumbling down, you'll see that the foundation underneath is Christ. And that's what we're going to look at on Friday. All of the questions I want you to ask now is why? And it'll lead you to ask, okay, so what now? Jesus will answer that question on Friday night. You'll get the what now. So where to from here? Come back. But tonight I'm going to show you what's going on in business. Because just like last night and the media and everything that I showed you, and all the previous nights, how shocking it was in religion, whether it's Christian or Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever, the same rubbish, the same lies exists in business today. And tomorrow night I'm going to show you that that lie exists in politics as well. So then what do you have left? What do you have left? Nothing except Jesus Christ. And that's where we have to get to. We have to get to the point where you don't rely on your dermany. We have to get to the point where you don't rely on me. We have to get to the point where you don't rely on the TBN or the television station or Sky News or anyone, not your banks, not your life policies, nothing. On Friday, we rely on the Word and the Word and the Word alone. Does it make sense? So tonight, I'm going to rip out some more of those pillars. So it's not going to be comfortable, but I ask you, just please get cross with me if you have to, but come back anyway. Right? Tonight, I'm looking at the subject, the battle for the mind. Are there any text words in the Bible about protecting the mind? We looked at a couple of them last night. Can you quote the texts to me? Not the words, the texts. We don't know them, do we? Yes or no? Well, write these down. If you have a notepad, take them down. If you don't have a notepad, get the DVDs. Right? I see some handbags coming up. I'll give you a minute just to get the pens and papers out. Get this down so that you understand that there really is a war going on. Have a look what Matthew 22, verse 37 says. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy what? Absolutely. Critical. There's an element that we have to have access to in order to love God. So if there's something in our minds which is not in line with God, it might block something between us and God. So it's not some of your mind, it's all of your mind. Every single thought is what he's saying. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures daily to check whether those things were so. Very important. You have to have a clear mind. That's why drugs and various mind-altering substances, whether they're the weak ones or whether they're the strong ones, get rid of them, right? We have to have a clear mind so when you hear something, you can receive it, and then you can go back and check whether what you're seeing and hearing is actually according to the Word of God. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that word is test, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of whom? All right. You see, there is a certain pressure that each one of us is feeling, and we are being constantly pulled down into this muddy pit of worldliness, the sin, the pit of sin. Constantly we have this pressure. And what the Lord's saying is, renew your mind. Renew your mind so that you can battle this, right? Because this coming down, that's the will of Satan. This, that's the will of God, right? And the only way that you can put up that fight is through the renewing of your mind. Wherefore, 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Protect your mind, in other words. Be sober. Interesting there, eh? And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be sober, because there's something going on here that you have to have a clear mind for. Hebrews 8 verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So you put information into your mind that's not according to the will of God, and then you put your information into your mind that is according to the will of God. And now you've got the battle of 13s going on in your brain. Because you've got good and evil, 6 and 7, or 7 and 6. And that's the battle for the mind, right? Which one's going to win? Well, the Lord says, get rid of the stuff. Filter what you take in and what you don't take in. Because he wants to put his laws in your mind. This is the seat of the intelligence, isn't it? He wants to write his laws here in the seat of your intelligence, and he wants to put them in your hearts. This means that we must become living, loving people of God. I no longer do I live, but Christ lives within me. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? How do we get the mind of Christ? You renew your mind by the studying of the Word and by filtering the rubbish that you take in, the radio stations you listen to, the food you eat, the various things that we consume into our bodies. You renew your mind because he wants to put his laws in your mind. And when he puts your, Hebrews 8 says, when he puts his laws into your mind, we will have the what? The mind of Christ. Does it make sense? Right. Now, question, does your mind in any way affect your actions? Right, so people come to me and tell me we're no longer under the law, we're under grace, because the Lord is going to write his laws in your hearts and in your minds. But we don't have to physically keep them, we just have them here. But if they're here, they should be here, because this affects this. So that's why he wants to write it here, because this is number one, this is the product of what's here. So he writes them here, and automatically, physically, we respond. Titus 1 verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Right? So that's what we looked at last night, about making sure that you filter whatever, because we want to be pure, right? Have you heard that text? He that is filthy, let him be what? Filthy still, and he that is holy, let him be. Right, the word holy there is the same as what it's saying in the Old Testament here. Pure, unto the pure, all things are pure. Him that is holy, let him be holy still. But unto them that are defiled, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. So if you end up doing something physically wrong, like you steal or you murder or you constantly doing things that are not right. You're sleeping around or you're doing whatever that's not in line with the will of God. It's because you have the wrong stuff in your mind. Make sense? This is where the problem is. This body is the product of what's going on in here. So the Lord wants us to get this right. Listen what Albert Einstein says. The ruling class has the schools and the press under its thumb. This enables it, the ruling class, to sway the emotions of the masses. Right? That's a pretty bright guy that said that. So if you look at it, you'll know that whoever's in charge controls the schools. Whoever controls the schools controls what rubbish is being put into your children's minds, right? Rubbish or not rubbish, it's up to them. They will decide what your children do and don't get. That's why the Commission on Freedom of the Press, oh, by the way, and it's also the press, so it's not just the schools, it's what rubbish and not rubbish you get on your TV screen as well. We think that it's free and fair, but come tomorrow night and I'll show you what's going on. Here you have the perfect example of that. Commission on the Freedom of the Press. This is the interesting statement. This is the people that are fighting for the freedom of the press. The owners and the managers of the press determine which person, which facts, which version of the facts, and which ideas will reach the public. Right? So they might have an agenda, do you think? If for some reason they've got, say, a 33-degree Freemason running the organization, you might get more biased opinion than if they had somebody that didn't know. Make sense? So they are the ones that control what's going on. The people that own the media. So we have to go and find out who owns the media. One of the biggest examples or the easiest examples I can give you is the example of overpopulation. We have, last week, 2 weeks ago, there was a summit, interestingly enough, in Rome. Who knows which summit that was? Right, because Antichrist isn't important, so we don't notice. Right, you hear the word Rome, you go, ah! Hopefully from now on. Because there was a that took place 2 weeks ago, and all the world leaders got together in Rome to discuss the food crisis. You see, there was a food summit in Rome, right? Why in Rome? Well, there's various things we can go into there. But one of the things that they tell us is that the world is overpopulated. Yes or no? Right. So that's a common knowledge. The world is overpopulated. This whole place is full. There's no more room. Have you driven through the Karoo lately? Right, but it's full. Okay, let's just put the two logics next to each other. We'll get to it now. I put these figures together for the September lectures. So you can see it's in July 2007, but it's accurate enough. We're only, not even a year ahead of that. So at the time in July 2007, it was 6.6 billion people on Earth. That's a lot of people, right? And by the way, this is according to the CIA. And I think they know, right? So this is 6.6 billion people. And I like that it's 175, right? I don't know what time in the morning or the afternoon it was, but there were 175. Right, but there were 6.6 billion people on Earth. Now, why is that important? Well, if there's 6.6 billion people, and I say, just for argument's sake, that an average family of four uses about 2,500 square meters to live, right? That's not a small property. That's 50 meters by 50 meters. That's about, it's the size of this hall, maybe a bit bigger. With the garden and the house, it's bigger. This is about 30 meters. So it's 1.5 or more, maybe 2 of these halls. For a family of 4, that's quite a large area, right? Okay, so let's go big. Let's make it 2,500 square meters for a family of 4. If you divide that by 4, you come to 625 square meters per person. Right? It's not rocket science. Now, I multiply the 6.6 billion people on Earth by 625 square meters, I get to 4.125 billion. In other words, 4 trillion square, and that should read square meters, right? That comes to 4,125,000 square kilometers. That's 4 million square kilometers. You see the logic? So 4.125 square kilometers is the space that I need to populate. If I'm going to take 50 square meters per family of 4, I need 4.1 million square kilometers. Now, does anybody know how many square kilometers there are on the face of the earth? Well, let me tell you that South Africa has got 1.2 million, Botswana has 500,000, Namibia 800,000, Zimbabwe 390, etc., etc. This area over here is 4.6 million. Square kilometers. Okay? Now, my question is, if that's 4.6 million square kilometers and I need 4.1 million square kilometers, do we have an overpopulation problem? No, of course not. The whole world can fit into just the Southern Africa area, right? And we'll all have 625 square meters per person, right? Because there's 149 million square kilometers available, but we need four. So that's a lie. So what else are they lying to us about? Quite interesting to just do the calculations and see where it works. You see, the media is the tool which will be used to soften our minds, like I showed you last night, to accept concepts we previously would have shied away from. It has been said the best place to hide something is right in front of you. Right? The best place to hide something is where you're not going to look for it. Where's the mayonnaise? It's not inside. It's on top. Right? Who, males, come on. Put up your hands. Who's got this problem at home? Okay, the rest of you are liars. My darling, we don't have any more salt. It's in the cupboard. I'm looking in the cupboard. It's on the third shelf from the top. I'm looking in the third shelf from the top. It's not there. It is there. It's not there. Okay, I'm coming. Here. Males, anyone happen to you? Right, that's more like it. The best place to hide something is right in front of you. Now, let me explain to you how this works. There's two networks available. Jesus' network and Satan's network. Jesus' network is split into two sections, right? Service to God and service to man. The Ten Commandments. Four ways that you have to serve God and six ways how you have to serve man. That's just the Ten Commandments. That's Jesus' network is split up. And the more you get involved with service towards man, for example, like evangelism or something, the further you move away from Satan's network. Does it make sense? These are bipolar. These are opposites. They don't mix. So the deeper you get into his word, the more you get away from Satan's network. Satan's network, however, is split up differently, right? It's split up, and I'm only giving you a couple here. All of these are addictive, every single one. Have you noticed that reading the Bible, once you get into it, it becomes addictive? It's the same thing. Whether it's service to God and service to man, and have you ever experienced bringing a person to Christ? Oh, there's nothing like that. It's like a drug, right? Seeing somebody give their lives over to Christ, man, it's an addiction, right? But it's a spiritual Christ-like addiction, not the drug-like addictions that are available here. So this is, the deeper you go, the more intensive it becomes. The deeper you go, the more intensive it becomes. These are bipolar opposites. And I put in some of them. You have things like sport that keep us busy. The deeper you get involved in sport, the less time you have for Christ. Yes or no? Right. What about, let's put up there, magazines. You magazine. How is it easier to read the King James Version Bible or the You magazine? Problem. The more you get involved with it, the further you get away from the Word of God. What about sex and pornography? Right? We're not going to discuss that, are we? Because none of us do that. There's a nervous giggle here. Right? No, I'm serious. But you understand, there's various aspects. You've got music. People that want to get, the deeper you get involved with music, the more you get pulled away from the Word of God. Raves and parties. Cell phones. Have you noticed the cell phones? How does that cut your children out of the family? Right? What about things like drugs? The deeper you get involved in drugs, the further you get away from Christ. Movies. Food. PC and internet. Does a PC take your husband away from you? Right? Have you know? I mean, your wife away from you? Yes, I get a mail. Yes. Don't hit him so hard, ma'am. What about PC games? Have you noticed how that cuts the children out? Right? These are all things to battle for the mind, to keep the mind busy. TV. How is it easier to watch TV, the God channels and that, or to read your Bible? Right? It's much easier to watch TV, and then they feed you anything, and we go, and it's cool. They're preaching about Christ, so it must be right, you know. Homosexuality, the further you get involved with it, the further you get away from the truth in God's, in the Word of God. Spiritualism, Secret societies. Work. Can work become a drug or a something? For sure it can. And then even wealth. There's so many that can pull you away from the network. I call it Jesus' network. There's so many options. I mean, I'm only listing a couple. But can you see that they're bipolar? There is no connection between the two. Now, what we have to look at is who's in control of this area on earth? Well, yeah, I'm asking you, but I'm not asking you. I'm saying what we have to look at tonight is who's in control of this. So let's start with sport, right? If you read the Bible, Exodus 32 says, Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. He made it a molten calf, and Aaron made proclamation to and said, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah. And they rose up early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. There was a certain distraction that they had which took them away from the feasts in the Old Testament. The feasts were called Sabbath days, special, special days dedicated to God. But they were taken; their focus was taken away from that by eating, drinking, and getting up to play. So if you go to polo, you know, there's people that are slightly more, let's go play some polo, right? And they get on their horses and they go, right? Where does this game come from? Why is it called polo? Well, interestingly enough, it's known as the sun game of polo, which actually played with an ignited ball. There was a little flame inside there. You see the candle? Right, there was literally that's how they used to play it. Polo was known by the Persians and restored to its original sun game significance by Akbar. Scoring a goal with the sun ball equated to the triumph of light over darkness, good over evil. The ball is a sun symbol in all such sports, listen carefully, as football, hockey, baseball, and cricket. Basketball and cricket. Baseball, however, is related to the sun in the sundial shape and the pattern of the field, as well as its rules of playing and scoring. Like all sports, baseball also embodies the sun's seasonal cycles in as much the same way as ancient ceremonial contests were held as a part of what? Oh, we go back to the sex worship again. Sun worship, sex worship, you've started to get the link between the two. Who do you think is telling us that all such sports that use a ball, like football, rugby, soccer, tennis, baseball, etc., etc., all such sports are playing with sun symbols? Who do you think is saying this? The United Nations. UNESCO says that's the reason that sports are on the playing field today. Let's read further. The Sumerian Gilgamesh story, inscribed in cuneiform tablets, narrates how the sporting equipment, a stick and a ring or a ball, like a tennis racket and a ball, which Gilgamesh had carved out of an uprooted tree, had fallen into the netherworld as he began oppressing his people by repeated athletic competitions, and how eventually it was the sun god who opened a hole in the ground in order to recover them. The Olympic torch, which a runner carries to mark the sun's cyclic movement through the Olympiad, the four-year period until the next games, is also related to the sun's cyclic rhythm. First celebrated in Greece, the games were ceremonial contests in the honor of Zeus. Right? So today we call it the Olympics. In the olden times, it was dedicated to sun god. But today we still have the torch, the Lucifer, the light bearer. We call it a torch today, but you can call it the light. But that person is carrying. Who do you think is saying this? The United Nations. Right? They know what it's about. That's why they have it. That's why if you go, this is just the one in Barcelona. That's why they have the sun and the moon. They have these, we don't know the signals. We don't understand the language, so it makes no difference to us. But the reason they have these fireworks, because this is the victory of the sun god giving off its various sparkles and whatever. They've got sun and moon worship. The sun and the moon and other planets float overhead the 1992 Barcelona Olympic Games, etc., etc. Now, as in sport, the sun is omnipresent on practically all aspects of life, whether it be art, architecture, philosophy, religion, festivals, folklore, dance, or music. Listen to this. As with sport, the sun is in all aspects of life art, architecture, philosophy, religion, festivals, folklore, dance, or music. You find the sun worship everywhere. Every morning, a pagan god of the day wakes us up. For Romans in the early centuries of the Christian era named each day after the seven planets, sun, moon, stars, etc., etc., etc. Who's saying this, do you think? It's not rocket science. The United Nations, UNESCO. So they know a pagan god of the morning wakes us up. Right? And that's why they have the United, that's why they have the Olympic Games. Which Olympic Games are coming up like in 2 or 3 weeks' time? Beijing, right? I specifically have not included the logo for the Beijing Olympics because I want you to go and check that what I'm saying is the truth, right? I'll show you the other ones. But go and have a look, write it down, check tomorrow. Go onto the internet if you have to. Go and look for Beijing Olympics logo and you'll see it there. Here are some others that you could look at. Seoul, Korea has got the triple yin-yang, the spinning sun symbol. What does that look like to you? Luckily, that's an athlete jumping over the hurdles, right? No, it's the Baal Hadad. This is sun worship. There you have Baal Hadad, Cape Town, Baal Hadad, Athens, Baal Hadad, Sydney, Baal Hadad, Baal Hadad, Baal Hadad, Baal Hadad, sun worship, sun worship. Those people know what this is about. Okay, so we're getting the Football Cup, the World Cup in 2010? Yes or no? Right, so go and check the various things around the football, but let me tell you, give you some examples. This is the one from Germany. What do you notice? Can you see the crescent moon? The crescent moon with a star or the circle? You see, that they like to hide it, but it's there. It's always there. That was Germany. That was Korea, Japan, the Baal Hadad, the circle within the crescent moon. Here you have it there. Even the trophy that they hold up, right, is this Baal Hadad. It's actually Atlas standing. Well, it wasn't originally. It was the goddess of victory, right? The goddess, the sun goddess of victory. That was the goddess of the FIFA World Cup in 1962. Today it's called the FIFA World Cup, but it's sun worship. If you take FNB Stadium, what big stadiums have you got here? You've got Kings Park, right? What? That's rugby, isn't it? I think it's rugby, right? How many people, Absa Park, how many people fit into Absa Park? 56,000 people. Now, you've got the whatever big cup happening there, the Super 14 or something that's happening there. And it's chock-a-block with 56,000 screaming fans. And I take the ball away, what have I got? I've got 56,000 idiots. Because they don't know what to do with themselves. They haven't brought a book. They haven't brought a Bible. They've got nothing to do. Why? Because the sun's missing. I mean, the ball's missing. That makes sense. Let's go to Wanderers Cricket Stadium. You take the ball away from the cricket players, what have you got? You take soccer. You take a tennis ball. You take any. It's the fight of good and evil over the sun. That's what sports is today. In ancient times, they would have what's a big thing called? The what? Colosseum. They would get these thousands and thousands and thousands of people together that would jump up and down, right? Because they were worshipping to the sun god. Today we get 56,000 people jumping up and down that are worshipping to the sun god, but we don't know that. Nothing's changed except a marketing plan, right? But the foundation, the reason for sports in the world comes from the sun god. Let me give you some examples. If you go to Manchester United, they'll even tell you on their logo who the founding member is of their team. Right? It's the little red guy with the trident and the forked tongue. You've also got on the, you'll see often the chevrons, just some Masonic symbols on there. If you go to Portsmouth Football Club, do you remember the 33rd degree Luciferian Shriner hat? You remember that? I showed you this. And there you have the Baal, what's it called? Baal Hadad, whether it's that way around, up or down, makes no difference. Heaven's light, our guide. This is Portsmouth Football Club's original logo. That's what it looked like in the 1970s. This is what it looks like today. Do they know what they're doing? Yes, of course they know what they're doing. The bosses know that. Obviously the players don't know. They're too busy kicking the ball, getting involved in sport and getting away from Christ Network, right? and getting us to go on the TV because we get absorbed in these things. But they know what they're doing. Let's leave sports. There's so much I can go into there, but this is a massive lecture. Tonight I'm going to teach you the signals, the language on how these people speak, right? Did you know that even the Queen has to wear black when she meets with the Pope? Right? This is because there's submission to the authority of the Pope. He's the Christ, the righteous one on earth. He is God on earth. We read them saying that, so I'm not saying it, he's saying it. That's why he's the sinless man, the sinless one, the Pope, and everyone else, all of us dumb people, including the Queen, have to wear black. This is absolute submission. All of them dressed in black with a black veil. Total submission. Now, I put the subtitle here, the media carries the hidden messages. This is a hidden message for those of you that don't understand it. I'll make it clearer. Even when the Prince of Wales meets with the Pope, they all wear black and he's in white. When the world leaders around the world meet with the Pope, they all wear black and he wears white. When he meets with the Muslim delegation, all the delegation except the priests wear black and he wears white. When they come to the Vatican, all of them wear black and he wears white, and they lift him off the floor so his feet don't get cold on this marble, right? Even, look at this, Pope Benedict XVI is welcomed on the steps of the synagogue in Cologne, Germany, by Rabbi Nathaniel Teitelbaum, August 19th. German Cardinal Walter Kasper, there you have him at the back over there, who's the president of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, is behind the Pope. So here you have submission, black and white, submission, and you can see the handshake, the dedication in that handshake of the Jewish nation towards the Pope. I showed you this two lectures ago in Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Judaism, all roads leading to Rome. Now I'm just showing you the pictures to prove what I showed you the other night. Inside the Vatican, you'll find Loyola's cave. Ignatius Loyola was the founder of the what movement? Jesuit movement. This is his Jesuit cave, or the Loyola's cave. And when Bush goes to meet with the Pope, he wears black, and the Pope wears white. This is submission, Protestant submission to the Pope. And they're sitting in front of Loyola getting his blessing from the Pope. Right? This is called a signal picture. This is, nothing happens with these people by chance. Let me just go back to that image in the back is there for the latest. Nothing happens with these people by chance. The same with this, the Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit movement. This is a signal picture saying, these principles are going to be embedded in this conversation. This is the founding reason for this conversation taking place. Here you have George Bush, and I'll get to this blue tie, white shirt, black jacket in a second. Black and white. Tony Blair, black and white. Margaret Thatcher, black and white. Who's this? Jimmy Carter, black and white. Even when the people from the Far East come to visit him, black and white. Tony Blair with a Masonic handshake, black and white. And, ooh, his wife came wearing white. Oh, and I thought, I'm going to have to watch this and see what's going on. Why, if Maggie Thatcher has to wear black, why is she not wearing pink? Or somehow, if she didn't get the memo, there must be a reason for her wearing white. And then a couple of weeks later, it came through. Blair will convert to Catholicism. And I thought, of course that makes so much sense. Because if you understand the language, you can see how these things are going to take place. Please note black, white, blue. That's the same suit that Bush was wearing just now. Blair may become a Catholic soon, June 11, 2007. Blair may announce his conversion from the Anglican Church to Catholicism. And just by the way, the Prime Minister has even discussed becoming a Roman Catholic deacon. Right? So there's a conversion. So that was what was being said in the signal picture with Cherie Blair wearing white. How's this? This is London.co.uk. Convert? No. Blair's been a Catholic for 25 years already. Right? Because if you understand the language, then, of course, because these people work using symbols. Why? There's quite a couple of new faces here tonight, so I want to explain to you why that's the case. Freemasonry says that Nimrod was a Mason. Now, who was Nimrod? What did he do? He built something. The Tower of Babel. Now, God was extremely happy about the Tower of Babel, right? What happened? Sizzle fits, like Walter likes to say, right? And after that, there was a multitude of tongues and people didn't know what the other one was saying and people were confused, etc., etc., etc. So, masonry tells you and occultism tells us that these people, Nimrod and his buddies, got so angry. Satan, in other words, got so angry that he said, never again will the Lord catch me unawares. From now on, we will not use speech, we will use symbols, signs and symbols to communicate. So what I'm showing you tonight is the language of the communication, and I just want to show you the depth of it. For those of you that understand the signs, you can recognize that Blair's been a Catholic for 25 years. His transference now is just because it's the right thing to do, because now he's the Middle East envoy that's doing certain political things, right? But if you understand it, it makes no difference between the Catholics and the Anglicans. I gave you this three nights ago, the Anglicans and the Catholics, and how they got the same symbols within the churches. Here you have, who's this? Gorbachev. Submission to the papacy. And there he's wearing a black, white, red suit. We'll have to look at that just now. Ooh, Fidel Castro in submission to the papacy. Why? And that, by the way, is a Masonic finger pointing up. Now, I also do that. So please be careful. You can't take one thing and run with it and make up your mind about somebody's character because of one picture. You've got to take one thing and then plug it together with other thing and put this whole picture together and eventually it makes sense. I recommend that you don't waste your time on that. Read the Bible. It's going to get you to heaven. This stuff won't. Right? But I must show you how deep the deception is. Why does Fidel Castro submit to the papacy? Well, I'll show you tomorrow night. But the person that set up the fascist system inside Cuba was actually a Jesuit father by the name of Llorente, which was the backup to this man. There's always a Jesuit behind a fascist system. There's proof for that, by the way. Bono, submission to the Pope, right? Who's this? Yasser Arafat, black and white. Interesting this. This was one of the previous signal pictures that came out. This is why we could see a while ago already that Islam is starting to lean towards reaching over the Gulf to grab the hold of Rome, which I showed you two lectures ago. Ah, Reagan. Reagan. Question. Why does Reagan wear brown? How many of you have got a brown suit at home? No, I'm talking about the guys, right? How many of the guys here have got a brown suit, right? How many of you wear your black socks and a black tie with a brown suit? This guy needs the fashion police. Unless you understand the symbols. What he's saying here is, for those of you that understand the symbols, he's not in absolute submission to the Pope. This is when Protestantism started to corrode in 1981, right? But that was a whole different story. But this is when Reagan met with the Pope and he wore brown, but he wore black socks and a black tie. So the insiders know that he's actually submitting, but he hasn't given complete proof of it yet. Again, this funny black, white, blue situation. We'll have to get to that. What's with the hand signals, right? What's with the hand signals? Who's eligible to receive the Catholic host or the wafer? Am I allowed to get it as a Protestant? I have to be a what? Right. So if you look around, it's not difficult to find out who's Catholic and who's not. Interesting to see there he's wearing black, white, red, and here he's wearing black, white, blue. Bill Clinton, just for interest's sake, receiving the Catholic host. But I thought he was a Methodist. We'll get to that in tomorrow night's lecture. Black, white, red. What on earth is this about? Well, the Masons have got various signal pictures that they use, and their suit is it. Please watch the TV and watch what's going on TV. Now you'll see this. This is when Al Gore and Bush were running for election. Black, white, red, black, white, red, black, white, red, black, white, blue. Black, white, red, black, white, blue. Is there something going on? Does he only have two ties? What about the Bush? And he still doesn't have a new tie. And there, he's wearing blue, he's wearing red. There, he's wearing blue, he's wearing red. And then again, the same thing. And then all of a sudden, they swap back to their red. And there's communication going on here. This is how people know before the time who's going to win the election and who's not going to win the election. Because you could see from here that he was coming from behind. He was going to take it. From that moment onwards, we knew that it was taken. Right? And by the way, that was on October 13, 2004. When the Pope comes and he visits, they all wear black. Look at that. Black, white, red, black, white, blue. Black, white, red, black, white, red, black, white, blue. Black, white, red. Does it start to make sense now? Right? You watch TV now. You're going to, wow. No! Can't be true. Yes, it's true. What about when Jeb Bush meets with the people? It's the black, white, red again. Black, white, red, black, white, red. Oops. But I thought our ex-president wears his, what was it, the Mandela shirts, right? Yes, he does, unless he has to do something official, like his inauguration, where he had to wear the Masonic suit. This is just to say that he's in submission to the system, right? When you could see immediately opposing camps, these guys are in opposition to one another, Prime Minister Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. These two are opposing one another. They're not opposing one another. They're both wearing the same uniform. These are both Masons. This is the Hegelian principle, thesis, antithesis, rubbing together to get synthesis. The very first thing Gordon Brown said when he became new Prime Minister, do you know? Come to tomorrow night's lecture. Doesn't matter if you're in India or if you're in America. Capitol Hill, the Senate majority, Mitch McConnell, black, white, red, black, white, red, black, white, blue, black, white, red. This is Liberty's medical scheme, Stephen Marsh, waiting for the new law, black, white, red. The boss of the CEO of Eskom, he's, I don't know if it's the current one, I'm not sure, but black, white, red. What about our friend Zuma? Black, white, red, black, white, red, black, white, red, black, white, blue. He wore a blue shirt there. That's interesting, right? Just to get the hint away. But it's red and it's blue. These are games that they're playing because there's people that understand the signals. But we don't know what's going on after tonight we do. And that's why people get cross when I do these lectures. Right? So I ask you, please pray for our ministry that this can continue. Okay, so what about the hand signals? What about the hand signals? Where do they come from? And by the way, I do have a blue tie. Does that make me a Freemason? No. But if I do more than that, and then this, and then that, and then that, and you put something like that, all it must do is, boom, that's all, and you just leave it there. Right? Don't worry about it. Don't dig after it. But you'll start to remember that, boom, and eventually when you get a, you know there's something there. Right? When you get, then you know that there's lots of stuff happening. Now, we got the whole orchestra going on the screen, but we'll look at it now. What about the hand signals, right? This is actually do Zulus greet like that? Who's Zulu in the audience? Do Zulus greet like that? Who greets like that? Well, Msimang greets like that. So does Mbeki. So does Tony Leon. So do the business leaders, right? These people greet with various greetings, and then... I agree. Why would they put this into the Sunday Times? Why? Because you'll see just now when you drop your glasses, the photograph with the eyes looking over the glasses, that's one type of a Masonic signal picture, right? Another one is where they look up. There's various signals I'll show you now. This is an extremely important signal picture. I mean, they could have chosen a better picture for him, but this is the one they put in the Sunday Times. Now, do you remember Jesus and the gurus? Who was here? Three of you. Do you remember Jesus and the gurus? Who was here? Four of you. No, kidding. What was their symbol? Do you remember? The upside down cross. Do you remember that? Now, let me show you, I'll just, for those of you that weren't here, those other six of you that weren't here. Lucifer, Messiah, demon, right? This is the pentagram with the horns to the top. This is the goat's head pointing up, right? There you have a demon. These people are Satanists. The black nail polish, you can see, is a symbol of that. Now, inside their worship concerts, you see the people dancing with that hand signal, right? That's the lead singer. He's put on his Hitler uniform. Let me just go back. There you can see them wearing the uniforms, right? So let me go forward. There you can see him with the same uniform. And that's the symbol. What do you remember what that was? Submission of the Trinity to the horns of the devil. Doesn't matter if the thumb is out. That's just male and female, black, white, up, down, left, right, up, male, female. Makes no difference. That's just that way or that way. Somebody asked me last night, who came up with that? Because doesn't that not mean I love you in sign language? Yes, it does mean I love you in sign language. Go and research who came up with that hand signal. That hand signal was designed by Helen Keller. And then go and have a look on the internet, Helen Keller, and put in occultist, and you'll see that she believed in the writings of people like Blavatsky, who says, Lucifer is the Logos, the serpent, the Savior. It is he that rules the world. Lucifer is Satan and the Holy Ghost at one at the same time. And Keller? Helen can't be. Well, she's the one that designed that, and that's why the people all over the world are saying, I love you, I love you. Meantime, with these people, there's always two signals, the one that the insiders know about and the one that the dumb people like us know about. But just to show you that that is actually a satanic thing, right? Here you have the horned hand or the mano cornuto. Here you have it. It is a sign of recognition between those that are in the occult. It is also used at heavy metal and rock concerts to affirm their allegiance to the music's message and the band members. This is the excerpt from the Satanic Bible. There you have it. Thumb out, thumb in. Makes no difference. It is submission of the Trinity to the horns of the devil. That is an old, well-known greeting of one Satanist to another. Usually the Illuminists are more subtle and don't do that publicly. Do you know what he's comments, Svali, what he's commenting about here? Do you want to see? Well, just to check one more time. Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, can you see it there? They hide it down like this that you might not notice it, but there you have it, the founder of the Church of Satan. By the way, some people like to take photographs of me when I hold my hand up like that and I explain. So if you see pictures of me on the internet doing that, does it make me a Satanist? Or does that make me somebody that's teaching you about the symbols? That's why you've got to be very careful to take one thing and run with it. Does that make sense? There's even one in the background as well. And he's wearing his Masonic suit. This is at his inauguration. This is when he was inaugurated as president. And there's his wife, just making sure that she's in on it. And again, and again, and his daughter. Over and over and over. So people asked him, they said, that's a sign of Satan. Why are you doing that? It's a sign of Satan. Why are you doing that? And he said, no, it's a symbol of the, I can't remember, it's Hukem Horns, which is some other slogan for like the blowbiller, right? These American footballers, but there's one called the Toronto Stars or something, I don't know. And he said, this is the symbol for the Toronto Stars. Why would he have that symbol at his inauguration? Not only that, then Bill Clinton must also be a supporter of those American footballers, right? Interesting, this is one of the pictures that was put up, I think it was in Time magazine or whatever, John Kerry, with his Masonic uniform. Does anybody notice anything about this picture? 666. Right? This is one of the signal pictures. Doesn't matter if George Bush gets in with his hand signal or if John Kerry gets in with his, it's just signal pictures to tell you what's going. Ooh, did you know that King Abdullah is also a supporter of those American footballers? And so is Prince William, right? Here you have Dio, which is a satanic rock band. You can see they're showing Satan with his hand sign, just to make sure that you know this is satanic. George Bush, the same thing again. Tom Ridge is also a football fan. So is Senator John Edwards. He also enjoys football. Yasser Arafat enjoys football. And so does Berlusconi, the Italian Prime Minister, right? I asked you last night, how's this affecting our children? Do you remember? You stood up, didn't you? Is there another child in the audience tonight? Up at the top there. Will you come down to the front here, please, so that the people downstairs can also see you? One of you, any one of you. Who knows the symbol for Spider-Man? Come down to the bottom. Come down to the bottom. Okay, this means hurry up. Come down to the bottom. And I want you to stand on the edge over here. No, no, no. There where you are. Just don't come all the way down. Just stop at that line there, right? There. Now put your hand up and show the audience what is the symbol for Satan. Right? But hold it up. Can you see that? Right? Is it the same symbol as you see on the picture? Thank you. Thank you very much. That's why our children run around with these symbols and we get it, it's implanting images into the subconscious. That's all it does. They don't want your child to worship Satan, but one day they're going to cash in on this. And then your child's defenses are puhu. Right? Because now the child has got a battle in his own mind. Why is my minister, why is my mother telling me something? But Superman's the good guy. Remember, they all turn things upside down. The bad guys, in the war between Superman and the baddies, the baddie is actually the good guy, and Superman, who's made to be the baddie, is actually the good guy. Who of you watched Shrek? Okay. Who of you watched the last Shrek? Right. What happens? Shrek goes to fetch who? Who's the little guy that he puts over his shoulder? Isn't it Arthur? Okay, have you watched Shrek? Go back and watch it again, right? You'll see that he goes to fetch the little guy. And he picks up this little Loki, puts him over his shoulder like a bag of potatoes. Watch carefully when he walks out. You'll see him say, "Hey!" And he puts out the hand sign, right? It's just a quick subconscious image of the good guy giving the hand signs. It's not the bad guy. It's not only that, it comes in the media. This is in Gauteng, they have this as a Reynolds symbol, right? And you can see it's only three fingers. There's one finger missing. They know exactly what and it's male. Look at this hand. And female. Can you see that? Wow, these people know what they're doing. Whoa, they know what they're doing. Go to Metallica, they're satanic. There you have the same thing. What about Amy Grant? She's more a heavy metal rock band Satanist, isn't she? What does she do? Well, why then on the Michael W. Smith in Concert Reunion Records 1985 does she flash it not once, a couple of times? And not once quickly, she holds it there and she sings. Right? Get to the DVD entitled Signs and Lying Wonders in my lecture series at the back. Please get it. Very important. McDonald's, light blue, but it's still black, white, blue, black, white, red. Charlie Bell replaces the Jim Cantalupo. This is one guy coming in with another guy. They know exactly. This is just pointing to say male, female, up, down, black, white. They know what's going on. The big bosses. Dan Quayle, he's, by the way, is also a football star, and so are these Satanists. They're all football fans, right? Because that's the symbol for... No, it's not. It's a greeting between Satanists. Here you have, what's his name, this gentleman down here in the middle? Paul McCartney. You've got the Chinese politicians. You've got there's old Rubber Lips. What's his name? Mick Jagger with the Rolling Stones. Bill Clinton is obviously not too concerned about it, right? They're over and over and over and over and over. The Bushes are one of the highest satanic families in the world, by the way. Here you have it, over in John Lennon, the same thing. Pornography, you got the same idea. Kevin Spacey, people like Kid Rock. These people know, they don't have any problem with it. Lisa Ling, right? From Amy McBeal, right? The Chinese lady on that. And when they win, they obviously have to give their rewards. They acknowledge, because many of these people, and if you don't know what I'm speaking about, there's a DVD series, get it on the internet, called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, right? These people literally give their souls over, and they come to the top. Avril Lavigne, same thing. Doesn't matter if you're a Satanist or if you're a singer. That's the same thing, right? And even on her chest, she's got the skull and crossbones, which is the symbol for the order of 322, which is the order of death. Did you know the Iranian president is also a football fan? And so is the French president. And Courtney Love and her daughter, they're also football fans. Right? And the Pope's also a football fan. So is he, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. Oh, and so's old Dick Cheney. And Forsaken is a satanic rock band, right? So that's fine. But what about Meryl Streep? No, not Meryl. Oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, no. Come. Well, let's read. In 2004, Angels in America, that's the name of the movie, or the series at least, was possibly the most evil TV series of all time that was aired on HBO. The director and actors were given Golden Globe Awards. They were awarded for the satanic thing. The movie depicted angels having sex with homosexuals and lesbians and praised communist spies like Ethel Rosenberg. Newsweek magazine ran this revealing picture of actress Meryl Streep, who starred in the movie giving the sign of the devil just over the head of Angels in America director Mike Nichols. She was the star in a movie where angels are having sex with homosexuals and all these disgusting things. Many of these people have sold their souls to get into these positions. Paul McCartney and his band, there you have him. Interesting sign that. Do we have a company that uses that sign as their logo? Toyota Automark? We'll get to that just now, right? You also have John Lennon. I showed you at the back with the same thing. Whether it's thumb out or thumb in makes no difference. Here you have Kid Rock again doing it. I'm not going to be able to go into all the signs and who's doing what and where and how, but just to give you an overview. Why? What is this about this sign? These are all just ways to, bang, there's something there. Let's just keep in mind if there's something going on. Bill Gates, we'll look at Bill Gates just now, or the company at least. Fidel Castro, right, giving the symbol of this Masonic hand sign the hand sign of the Masons. Can you see it's a signal picture? Or is it rocket science? No. Right? Why on earth would you... That's like something you do with your child, right? And if you turn your hands inwards, then it's Batman, right? Right? No, it's not. These people know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. There you have just a hint. Remember, this is the star. These bigger papers know what they're doing. Here you have it. Throw my case out too. Get rid of my case, and then he shows the Masonic hand sign. Right, just to say, I'm asking you to do this, and that's why. Right? Get rid of my case. Have you wondered why he hasn't been nailed yet? Right, what about Jackie Celebi? Right, we'll get to him just now. Shia LaBeouf, interesting shoes that he's wearing there. Now, bang, until you see, bang, and you see how you start to put these things together? Right? Multiple things start to make sense. Okay, so let's look at Bono. Right? Time magazine. Can Bono save the world? Well, obviously not. But why would Time magazine waste their time asking a question? This man has got incredible influence. Who is this man? Why is he with Bill Gates? Who is this man? Why is he sitting on the World Economic Forum? Why is he sitting at the table with President Clinton? Why is he sitting with Kofi Annan? Why is he sitting with George Bush? Why is he sitting with Jesse Helms, black, white, blue, by the way? Black, white, blue. Why is he with these people? Who is this man? What's he got? Well, if you came to last night's lecture, you'll look onto this picture and you say, of course. He's wearing a bent cross. Oh, okay. So if you want to get into the high places, you wear a bent cross. Boom! Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, let's see what else we can find. What do you see with the hand signal there? You see the two fingers? Remember the two fingers from last night's lecture? Right. Okay, so now we got boom, boom. Let's see what else we can find. Boom. Here you have another one. A leaning towards which eye? Can you see? There he's showing something. We'll have to look at that. Why is he with Mandela? Who is the man that can put sunglasses on the Pope? He's got to have something. What is it that he's got? Black, white, blue, black, white, red. Bono with the presidents of the world. And what's this 46664? We'll get to that just now. Why is he with Mandela? Who's this man? Who is he? Well, let's get to the 46664 concert. I'm not saying a word. I'm quoting. I'm reading off the screen. Mandela's prison number seems to have changed, morphed from 4664 to 46664. There was a 664 concert. In fact, Katie Malua says, I did a Nelson Mandela gig called the 4664, which raised awareness of AIDS, and I was asked by Queen the Band, who are my heroes, to sing one of their songs, Too Much Love Will Kill You, with them. So Katie Malua says she sang in a concert called 4664. Following the inaugural, she's speaking here, following the inaugural 4664 concert held in South Africa last November, it has now been announced that Spain will hold a follow-up. So weird that it's now 4664 and that Mandela must back the change. Why does Mandela not fight the 6664? Why doesn't he fight that? Because his number in prison wasn't 46664, it was just two sixes in the middle, right? Why they've changed it? Why do they tell us that's his prison number when it wasn't his prison number? There you have it. Following the inaugural 4664 concert, this is just a screen dump of the website so that you can see Spain to host the next one, which is now the 666 embedded in it. And here you have the leaders of the world. You see, at the highest level, they know that what they're doing. And what they're doing is leading you to worship Satan, to worship Lucifer, because they've been lied to. They are told that Lucifer wins the war. But if you read Revelation, Jesus wins the war. Right? But there's a war on, but we play church. Right? The war is about your church, by the way. The war is about your religion. The war is about your spirituality. The war is about getting into the arms of Christ before this door closes, before the fire hits this earth and all of this rubbish is destroyed. Run like mad from this. Come out of her, my people. Bono even received an honorary knighthood. Don't you think that's a strange photograph to put on the BBC News? Which eye is it? It's the left eye. It's the same as what I showed you last night. Right? And it's black, white, red, the person that's giving him the honorary whatever it's called. And when he got this knighthood, you know you're supposed to be called Sir, right? Well, you can't because he's not a British citizen. So he said, Bono says, you have permission to call me anything except Sir. But he suggested a few alternatives like Lord of Lords. Who's the Lord of Lords? Jesus Christ. You see, the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry says that the all-seeing eye is an important symbol of the supreme being. You remember that? And I showed you that it's on their temples, the left eye or the eye of Osiris. And to the ancient Egyptians, the right eye was the moon and the left eye was the sun and the left eye was the moon. And on Jesus, I showed you that he only had the one eye in the Passion of the Christ, and that Mel Gibson took as his left eye symbol. Does it now make sense why I showed you that lecture last night? So that tonight's lecture makes sense? Right, now all I'm doing is I'm taking it to the next level. That's why Blavatsky says Lucifer is the Holy Ghost and Satan at one at the same time. Doesn't matter if you're the good guy or if you're the bad guy or if you're the bad guy or if you're the good guy. Good and evil comes together inside Lucifer. That's why the 4664 is not a problem because Lucifer is actually the good guy. Come tomorrow evening, I'll show you what the UN teaches. You'll freak if you haven't seen it before. Again and again and again and again, he's showing the left eye. And not only the left eye, closing the one eye with that Masonic symbol. So when you get to the top, all you have to do is show off the right signals, right? So now that I've taught you the language, now you can do whatever you want to in government, right? Because if you want to play this game, you're going to have to sign your name in blood in the satanic books. But if you don't want to play this game, then give your life to Christ because there's a war going on here. Over and over and over and over, you have this left eye, left eye, left eye. So Bono, he's a good guy. Well, let's find out what his true allegiance is. Can you see the horns up there? And also here you see him singing. This is in one of his concerts where he's showing his allegiance, right, to the audience. Also this one where he's swinging the upside down cross, right? So you don't have to guess. He's certainly not a Christian. But why then has Bono started a new Christian movement called the Utucharist? And he's aiming this Utucharist movement at the Methodists and the Lutherans and all the Protestant congregations, right? If you don't know what I'm speaking about, get the DVDs. It's all in there. There's a whole new movement which is being driven by him inside Protestantism. But this is his true allegiance. What's in the background? Can you see it there? Baal Hadad. And he's the same when it comes to Oprah, always with the highest people. Now, This man is, this is a signal picture, again, only showing the one eye, right? Showing the World Economic Forum in being controlled by the man with the one eye. That's just a signal picture. That's what, there's sentences in these photographs. Have you heard the same statement, a picture is worth 1,000 words? Well, that's what that picture is. That picture is saying a whole lot of stuff. Persons of the year, the three most influential people in time. Again, the leaning towards the left eye with this beautiful Queen Rania of Jordan. And why? Such a beautiful lady. It's scary to see what she's involved in. MSNBC even tells us that Bono is now seen on the shortlist for the chief seat of the World Bank. You see, you don't have to be brainy on top. You don't have to be a chartered accountant. You don't have to have an MBA or all of those. You just have to be one of the insiders. And you'll be at the top running the organization from the inside. So let's just stay with music while we're on Bono. Let's stay with music for a while. The Lord explains that there was war in heaven and Lucifer fell from heaven with his angels. And it says in Isaiah 14, Lucifer, thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials, thy violins. The worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You see, in heaven, Lucifer was the boss of the music department. He was the DJ. He was the one in charge of the beat in heaven, right? And when he fell down from heaven, he took all of that music down onto earth with him, and now he has control of the music industry. Does that make sense? Right? And that's all the Bible's telling you. I'm just showing you that it's true. Let me give you an example. Anastasia. Who knows? Who's listened to Anastasia? Is it violent music or is it beautiful music? It's beautiful music, right? This is nice car FM or what, East Coast Radio, right? This is the type of stuff they play. But that's, if you don't know, the signal pictures, because these people don't communicate here, they communicate here. What do you see? It's not rocket science, right? You see the hand signal and you see looking over the top of the glasses, right? The signal. And again and again and again, just giving the pictures, giving the signals. Here you have her CD, right? Anastasia, not that kind. And on it, can you see the big sun symbol? Right, the big sun symbol. And then you've got the, can you see this thing in the middle? It's got the loop on top. That's called the Ankh, right? Which comes from Egypt, and it's the symbol for immortality, the symbol for eternal life, which, by the way, is very challenging to biblical scholars. But this is now this immortality. You won't die. You'll become as gods. Right, as long as you acknowledge the sun god as your god. What about Britney Spears and Madonna? Right, what do they believe? Well, Britney Spears and Madonna, whose albums sell in the millions, share a lesbian kiss on stage at an MTV Video Music Awards program viewed by millions. Many of us saw that. It was a moment where, again, wearing black and white. Be careful. Black and white. This is good and evil. And this was the marrying of homosexuality, and they were playing with this idea. And if you get that DVD, those DVDs entitled They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, you'll see that Madonna actually has the whole audience chanting about how they're going to go to hell. Right? They know what they're doing at that level, but the people in the audience don't. It's the same thing with Rosie O'Donnell and what's this guy called? Boy George. Again, playing with this idea of sexuality and they adopting children, and it's pretty scary. This lady, very, very interesting lady, she said, there's nothing wrong with going to bed with someone of your own sex. I think people should be more free with sex, but they should draw the line at having sex with goats. Now, who is this influential, beautiful lady? Elton John. Right? We should not have sex with goats, but anything other than that, you want electric wall plug, that's fine, right? Please go ahead and show us how it's done. That would be quite a freaky experience. You know what I'm saying? The stuff's sick. Where do you draw the line? The line is the word of God. Accept it or reject it, but make your decision. Who's this guy? Ozzy Osbourne, right? Ozzy Osbourne. And they've got this band called what? Black Sabbath. Do you know that these guys were Seventh-day Adventists? That's why they have called the Black Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath? These people know what they're doing. These people are Satanists. And today, Ozzy Osbourne is... You can't even hear what the guy's saying on TV, but he's an international star. Give me more drugs. You know, the Lord loves Ozzy Osbourne, but he hates the situation that he's in. Does it make sense? So is the Lord going to be able to save him in that situation, or is he going to say to him, come out, repent, change your ways and fix it? There's a change that has to be made in every single one of us, including Ozzy Osbourne, right? Prince, who of you know about Prince? Right? The symbol. He changed his name to Prince. Well, from, I don't know from what to what to what. And now he's called the symbol, and then he changed it back again. Listen if you recognize this.
All seven and we'll watch them fall. They stand in the way.
All seven and we'll watch them fall. We'll smoke them all with their intellect
and their savoir-faire.
And their savoir-faire.
No one in the whole universe will ever compare.
No one in the universe will ever compare.
I am yours.
I am yours.
You are mine.
You're mine.
Together we'll live through all space.
Together we'll live through all space and time.
One day all seven will die.
One day all seven will die. Listen. Yeah. Right? Do you know that he was a Sabbath-keeping Seventh-day Adventist? But the Bible warns, when you sweep your house clean, if you chase a demon out of your house, make sure that you close the doors, because seven more demons will come back that'll be worse than the initial one. Right? If those of you that don't understand the signal pictures, you've got it here. Can you see the Baal Hadad? And there's the moon and the sun, or the sun and the moon. This is sun and moon worship. And it's the Ankh, right? The symbol of immortality. And here you have the witch's coven with Prince in the middle. This is witchcraft. This is satanic witchcraft. That was one of my favorite songs of all time until I understood what was going on. Right? Do I listen to it now? No. Okay, let's skip that. Carlos Santana. Man, does he play violent music? No, he plays beautiful music. So let's find out from Carlos Santana himself. People, and this is from Rolling Stone magazine, people are going crazy with Latin frenzy and Spanish frenzy, but it's really African music that Ricky Martin is playing, Jennifer Lopez is playing, and I'm playing. So he's playing African music in a different form. In my meditations, so he meditates, he opens the mind, this entity called Metatron, remember that, Metatron, said, while he's meditating, he hears this voice, "Hi, I'm Metatron. We want to hook you, Carlos Santana, back onto the radio airwave frequency. Why? We want you to reach junior high schools, and universities. Once you reach them, we want you to present them with a new form of existence." So he's a hong, and you go open the mind, and he gets this voice, and there's a guy by the name of Metatron, and he says, "I'm going to give you a break. I own the media. I'm Satan. I own the media. I'm going to give you a break on the air, but I'll give you the break if you do the following three things for me. I want you to go to where? Junior high schools and universities. That's primary school, high school, and tertiary education. That's his market. Do you think he's got his market? Oh, yes, he's hit them smack on. So the question is, who's Metatron? Well, in order to find out who Metatron is, you have to go back to morals and dogma, Freemasonry, Albert Pike, the boss man of Freemasonry worldwide. The password of the degree, the 28th degree, is given as Metralon, which is a corruption of Metatron, the cherub, the angel, who and Sandalphon are in the Kabbalah, the chief of the angels, the head of the angels. The active and passive symbols are male and female, black, white, up, down, there. Who's this? Jesus Christ or? Does it make sense? So who's Metatron? Satan. So Satan comes to Carlos Santana and says, I want you to come up with a certain type of music, and I want you to hit those three targets. That's where I want you to get. If you hit them, I'll let you play music on radio, right? And so what about the other artists? What about the other artists? I just want to play you Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Who knows Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody? The most famous song in all history. Listen carefully. Louder, please.
Rock band Queen sings about Beelzebub, a biblical name for Satan. Listen. Setting a demon aside for them.
We know that song, right? Did you know that it's Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me? And we sing it. Oh, it's cool. See the problem? Do you want Beelzebub, who's Satan, to put a devil aside for you? So can you listen to that song? No. There's a battle for the mind here, right? There's a battle for the mind going on. What about... How's it? Have you seen these oaks? Right? What about hip-hop? Is it biblical? Obviously not. But is there anything there? Well, let's go and find out. I'm not going to say a word. Let's let them show us. Is it biblical? Give me some of the big rap artists, some of the big hip-hops. You've got 50 Cent. Well, have a look at these guys and see. Have a look next to you what you see on the... He's busy rapping, and what do you see on the wall next to him? And I'm not going to stop this video clip for the recording purposes, but I want you to listen, because then they're going to go from there over to this massive audience, right? And he's got the whole audience is driving. Listen to the words. I'll speak while it's going, but just listen carefully what these guys are up to, right? It's more than a fashion trend that when you put your pants that everybody can see the plumbers. Right? It's not a fashion trend. It comes from these guys. Listen carefully.
Snoop is seen at one point becoming possessed by Satan. And at another point, he is seen praying next to an inverted cross.
It's an upside down cross. Volume, please. Listen. DMX.
DMX, another rap's biggest artist ever, also sings about selling
little bit
his
more.
Soul to Satan.
Listen. I'll repent one day, just not right now. Listen carefully. Since I run with the devil, I'm one with the devil. Since I run with the devil, I'm one with the devil. I sold my soul to the devil, and the price was cheap. I sold my soul to the devil, and the price was cheap.
It works in mysterious ways. Once it goes in, you have really no say about what it does to you.
Right, Keith Richards, who's that? Rolling Stones. He says, once it goes in, you really got no control over what it does to you. And that's true. You don't have any control over what is it. Have you tried not to stomp your or to tap your foot while there's a funky song on the radio? You can't. Music is so powerful. But please understand that you don't get to the top of this industry unless you are fulfilling an agenda. And it's not Christ's agenda. It's on this side of the network, not that side of the network, like I explained to you earlier, right? This is this side. And you have a choice to choose which one. The one is slightly more boring in the beginning until you find out what the war's all about. Then it becomes fascinating. But this is about sensory stimulation. And then I sold my soul to the devil, and the price was cheap. Sold my soul to the devil. You know, that's how these, you know, you've got to get the arms going and all the. Right? You've got to get the thing going. And you know how they walk and they put their hood up and they. Please. Wake our children up and tell them that there's a problem going on here. These people are satanic. They've been influenced. They literally have sold their souls for this rock and roll. Let me give you another example, right? Let me know if you recognize this song. Listen carefully.
I sit and wait. There's an angel contemplating.
Recognize it? It's on all the radios worldwide. Isn't that a beautiful song?
The places where we go.
It really is a beautiful song.
When we bring an old. Jesus, I have been
isn't that beautiful? Who's this? Robbie Williams, right? Robin Williams is that other guy, the funny oak. But Robbie Williams, this is Robbie Williams. Now, what I want to do, we know the song. It's world famous. One of the most influential songs in the last 5 years. Can I play it again and then we read together and listen and read what the song is really about? Okay? Let's listen. And read on the board while he sings it. I sit awake.
I sit awake.
There's an angel.
There's an angel.
That's contemplating my fate.
Contemplate my fate.
Jesus should be contemplating his fate.
Do we know?
Do we know?
The places where we go.
The places where we go when we are gray and old. Listen carefully now.
'Cause I've been
told
that salvation lets their wings unfold.
That salvation lets those their wings unfold. These are the fallen angels.
So when I'm lying
in my bed,
thoughts running through
thoughts
my
are
head.
Running through my head.
And I feel the love.
I feel that love, that's God. Love is dead.
I'm
so I'm loving
instead.
Angels instead.
And through it all,
she offers me protection. It doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong, because it's good and evil. I don't want to fall. I know that life won't break me when I come to call. Why? Because she won't forsake me. Who is he speaking about? Satan! Let's look at world entertainment. The world entertainment and the media, right? There are certain people that are in control and certain elements that are underway, that are going on inside the world entertainment media. For those of you that remember, those of you that were here to remember the information that I've shared, you'll understand that there are 13 levels to the Masonic pyramid, which I'll explain tomorrow. And the Lucifer, the light bearer, right, is the one that carries it. The sun symbol of the male, female, black, white, up, down, Lucifer standing on the Masonic pyramid. CBS, you'll see the same thing. This is secret, the secret order of the one eye, the eye of Lucifer. Also, the Masonic Warner Brothers shield and the dot within the circle of HBO. Just various ways of explaining what you're not supposed to know, but is available for you to know, right? You also have Columbia TriStar, the same image, right, just with a different picture, also standing on top of the pyramid. Now, you can either have the Lucifer, who's the god of death, who's the destroyer, or you can have Pegasus, who's the god of death. It's just one or the other one, it's exactly the same thing, right? Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, there are so many occult symbols inside that. If you're an occultist, you'll pick them up immediately. I don't have time to go into that. I see we're running short of time. NBC uses the peacock's tail feather, right? The peacock being one of the insider symbols of Freemasonry, which I have in a different lecture. I do explain that in a different lecture. Again, Toyota or Pegasus, the god of death, which I've explained to you from TriStar. Where else can we see that Baal Hadad? Do you remember the Baal Hadad? I've taken this from the very first lecture. All through the lectures, I've brought through the same symbol so that you can see where it seemed. Do you remember this? It was the death and rebirth of the sun god. This is from the Assyrian style and from the Hittite era. This is just the way they used to worship the sun god, right? It's one of the ways they depicted the sun god was with a crescent moon, with the circle, or either a circle or a star, it makes no difference. And I've shown you that within the circles of Catholicism, they put that Eucharist inside the host and thereby create that sun symbol again with this. But if you understand what Morals and Dogma tells us, Albert Pike, he says that there are two levels. Johannism has two, well, the Templars have two levels of what they teach. One level is called Johannism, which is a secret insider Luciferic order, and he says it himself. And the other side is Catholicism, right? It's the Catholic Church on the outside, Johannism on the inside, and that's known by the Templars at the top order. So if you go to the European Parliament, right, you just have to look at the European Parliament. A satellite photograph will show you something quite interesting. Can you see it there? Right? Can you see the similarities between the two? And not only is it built in the form of a Baal Hadad, but it's also formed in the form of a spiral, which becomes very important tomorrow evening. Can you see that it's sort of in a spiral? Now, what other symbol can you see? Where else can you see the Baal Hadad? What about there? Or maybe there. Can you see the similarity between that and that? Right? It's basically just the people on the inside saying, right, it's of the same network. If you are a businessman, you'll understand that Finance Week is a very important magazine, and it's read by all the top business people around the world. And this one was very interesting, 25 years of Finance Week, and they said here, the perfect board. If you want your business to succeed anywhere in the world, choose the perfect board of directors. And you'll see it's got black, white, red, black, white, red, black, white, red, etc. We can't see here. But interesting, just to see that there might be something there, boom, that's all we have to do. And then this amazing picture on the front of this magazine. Just look at the table there, right? Now remember what Ezekiel says. Within the temple, there were 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and they faced the sun and the east, and they worshiped the sun towards the east. This is that symbol, right, explained in the board of directors table. And that's what they're saying here. The perfect board is involved at a certain level in things that we do not understand and we're not part of. So you can see it either in buildings, you can see it in logos, you can see it at board level, or same thing, whether it's in the religious systems or in business. Let me put it on that side and see where else we can see the symbol. Can you see it here? The World Economic Forum, the hint of it there, and then it goes, tick. If they were to close it, we would wonder, what on earth is that? But they don't close it. They just put it there so that it's a hint. It's exactly the same symbol there. It's exactly the same symbol there, right? Remembering that masonry says that at the time of Nimrod, these people got angry and they said, I will never use language again. I'll use symbols. Where else can we see it? Does this make sense now why Bono, the left eye man, who's doing the things that he does, showing his allegiance, can be the boss of the World Economic Forum, right? Or sitting on the stage at least and can possibly become the boss of the World Bank? What about our FNB? I mean, is that clear or is that maybe clear? Right, it's not rocket science to make this up, right? If I was to, let me just go back. Well, I mean, I can just put the two there and you can see it. It's not rocket science. Or Kramer Media, or MediPay, or what about Absa Capital? This is October. This is when Absa Bank was bought out by who? Barclays Bank, right? So this is called the power of three. The power of three, which in itself has certain connotations, which you wouldn't understand if you aren't in the occult. But the power of three, can you see the three there? Right? Actually, what it is it's showing you that there's a, well, let's start with this. There's a huppy out there, and that fits inside there. So they've just separated, let's just go back, they've just separated those two, over there and over there. And then they've got the peacock, the symbol for NBC. Right, just in a different form. But what else can you see? Is that a three? Or what is it? And a seven. Can you see the seven? Right, and the six? Right, this is the coming together of good and evil, six and seven, which I have explained in my previous lectures over and over and over and over. If you go to Liberty Life, right, you'll see that the logo in about 2004, 2005 was changed. And when a company like Liberty changes their logo, it costs them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, right? So why would you change your logo from a flame to a flame? Unless there's some reason, because, I mean, that flame's pretty funky. The only difference really is that the outside circle became round, and then you had this little bite out of it. Very interesting. Now, does that mean they're involved? No, it just means bang, they might be involved. What else can we find? Now, I'm not going to go into all the things that you can find, but you can find more if you want to, right? You go to Shell, you can see exactly the same thing up there, right? World Challenge and the IDC and Umzumbomvu Fund and the South African Weather Service, because you will only hear the information that you're supposed to hear about the information of the weather. You've got Cooler Enterprise Finances. You've got the Hubble site. Did you know that you have to be a 32nd or 33rd degree Freemason to be a long time in space? Why? Well, I apologize. That's not completely accurate. You either have to be a Mormon or you have to be a Mason. Because the Mormon Church has got the biggest database of people's information in the world. Why would a church have people's database information? Makes no sense. So the Hubble site, all I'm showing you here tonight is I'm just bringing up the pictures that you can see that there's something going on, right? Citigroup, Wholesome, let's just go to Change Partners, Supergroup, there's a couple of them. Southern Sun Hotel, this is the Baal Hadad within the Baal Hadad within the Baal Hadad. This is, remember there were two trinities that I explained in the lectures? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Father, Mother, Child, right? Those are the ones, the Sun God from Pharaoh, which are Pharaoh's days, which I've explained. You've got Quedi Technologies, Competition Commission, Famous Brands. What about the Artea Carfia? You've got quite clear the sun symbol there with the crescent moon. Goldfields, Invesco, Morkels. Why would Morkels have it? I mean, Medipay, I've showed you. SAB, can you see it there? It's quite clear, actually. Unison, Prasano, they went bankrupt a while ago. Arby's. Now, Arby's, if you understand the power of sixes and sevens, you'll know, if you're in the occult, you'll know that the number 13 is the highest occult number, right? Because it's the combination of good and evil, black, white, up, down, male, female, etc., which I explained to you last night as well, of which Arby's is an example of that. You've got the one there, and you've got the three, right? Which is not quite clear until you put it next to McDonald's. And becomes a little bit clearer. Or you put it next to Windows and becomes very clear. Right? Dodge, you've just got a very interesting symbol there with the goat, just for interest's sake. There's nothing like major you can plug on it, but just for interest's sake. And then Procter & Gamble. This used to be their logo, this moon. Do you remember that was inside the which church? St. Paul's Cathedral. Right? Do you remember that was on the floor? Right? That's the same symbol, but here they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 stars. Interesting. Just an interesting coincidence. If you go to Procter & Gamble's website and you have a look, you'll see exactly the same thing there, the Baal Hadad. Over and over, the open, semi, and closed. This is the birth, death, and resurrection of the sun god. This is a massive company. They're doing $68-odd billion turnover per annum. So they're a huge company, really, really massive company. And don't worry about the small guys, right? It's not about the small guys. It's about understanding that there's a new world order coming, and that I'll be explaining to you tomorrow night, or I won't be saying a word. I'll be reading off the screen as I do, and they'll be telling you all about it. CBS News, I've explained. Spectrum Visual Networks, this is a fascinating one because it's even got what the Masons call the wedge of the eye. Inside the Baal Hadad with the wedge of the eye, they've got the one eye, etc. Women's golf tour, that might just be chance. This might all be by chance. But, boom, it might be. DP World. So what's up with the red dot? We'll have to look at the red dot. Regis, NCR Online, Fort Wayne. You've got Sun Microsystems, Solaris. You've got this Baal Hadad look again about black. You've even got people that call themselves Lucifer Lighting Company, right? Lucifer Lighting Company, which, and they'll tell you exactly why, because Lucifer is the light bearer. They're the light bearer. So who's this man? Anybody know this man? Steve Jobs, right? He's the man that founded Apple Computers. He also founded Atari and Pixar. And it's interesting, it's the apple with the bite out of it. Where do we have that in the Bible? In the Garden of Eden, right? But could that be chance or design? Let's have a look. Well, Steve Jobs is the CEO of Apple, which he co-founded in 1976, and Pixar. Pixar has created six of the most successful beloved animated films of all time. Academy Award-winning Toy Story, Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Academy Award-winning Finding Nemo. By the way, has Nemo arrived? Because I'm still wanting to Finding Nemo. Right? If you're here, please come speak to me afterwards. The Incredibles, and Pixar's six films have grossed more than $3 billion. So he's been successful with his children's stories. But why would this man be involved in children's stories if this is his original logo? Now, they'll tell you, obviously, if you haven't been to the lecture, you won't know what Albert Pike speaks about, that there's two levels, and that they will tell you what you are supposed to know, but they will intentionally mislead you. You remember that quote from Morals and Dogma? Right, so they will tell you that this means this is a Newton sitting under the apple, right? But it's actually not, because Newton didn't bite into the apple as far as we're aware. And if you happen to dare to challenge the subject a little further and you go to the Church of Satan's own website, you'll see that they are the founder or the sponsor, at least, of the Church of Satan's website. So they'll tell you it's Newton, but you just have to put two and two together and you see that it's not. By the way, it has been removed, but if you do a little bit of research, you can go and you'll see that they still do support it, but they got into a bit of trouble, so they've put it on other places. Purging Talon is a satanic website, right? You can see it's the various symbols, the subterranean cinema, right? The cinemas are subterranean. You go, I'm just paging down the page, Church of Satan interview archive with Anton Zandor LaVey, and you go down to the bottom. There at the bottom, you'll find the Apple click through. If you click on Apple, it'll come up with apple.com. Just to show you that Apple is still supporting these websites. It's not something that we have to make up. And if our children aren't aware of it, after last night's lecture, I think you're aware that certain things can be implanted without you being aware of it. BBC explained that the scientists have now been able to prove that. The battle is for our minds, but also the minds of our children, right? So let me show you, and unfortunately, the only way for me to show you this is to show you this, right? So there are scenes in here which are going to show nudity, so I'm putting it there just to warn you. If you are otherwise inclined or not able to view it, then please just turn away. What scene is that? Lion King, right? It's when he gets a bit moodaloos and he goes and he lies down. As he lies down, this dust cloud comes out. So the dust cloud comes out and goes out and goes out and then sort of dissipates. Can anybody see anything there? Nothing really, right? Until I color it in for you. But it's one of those which you're not quite sure. It could be, but it also couldn't be. So let me give you a different example. What about The Little Mermaid? Right? Was this a popular film for our children? Right, I have to show you this. I apologize. Let me zoom in a little bit, and let me zoom in a little bit more. For those of you that have been married, you'll recognize that, right? That, unfortunately, is not the female genitalia. But it's on The Little Mermaid, right? What about Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Four still slides from Roger Rabbit. This is what is going into the children's minds. Right? But it's so quick. It's so quick. What about The Rescuers? Surely not The Rescuers. Right? They're sliding down in their little sardines. Oh, that's cool. And as they slide past, bam, they slide past this open window. You recognize it? And here, as they go past, the same thing. They know what they're doing. This is the naked woman, for those of you that can't see the breasts, and that she's getting dressed or busy doing whatever she's doing in front of an open window. These are the things which are implanted. Now, that's why I did last night's lecture first, so that you can see that the scientists have now proved that it actually does stick, even if you don't want to, because 1 Peter 5:8 says that we have to be sober and be watchful, because your adversity, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking around seeking who he may devour. And we buy these movies so that our children can keep busy, because they woolach, they keep us busy. So it's easy to get them to watch DVDs, except that the DVDs are made by Steve Jobs type company, and he's a sponsor of the Church of Satan. By the way, I have people that come to me and say that Satan doesn't exist, but that's because they've never been in contact with him. Right? Anybody that wants to say that Satan doesn't exist has never been a Satanist. Right, so that's a dumb argument. It's like arguing about what day is the week. If you haven't done your research, then you won't know. What about the sun symbols? Alexander Forbes, interesting that it might be. Sun Microsystems, BP, Kalahari.net. If you have a look at any one of the Mandela development sites, Mandela Youth Fund or Mandela Village or whatnot, you'll have a look, you'll see a similar thing on every single one of them. Anderson, you've got the Democratic Alliance, you've got Shell actually showing the, they'll tell you it's a shell, but it's actually the sun symbol. This comes from the adoration of the celestial cow. You have various red dots. You've got the scarab beetle, you've got the celestial cows. In the time of Egypt, and it was worshipped as the sun, right? The sun. There you have the scarab beetle again with the sun, and you've got Rehoboam, also there, the sun god Re, or and the big sun god Ra with his wings outstretched, the different aspects of the same sun gods. Remember that the Pharaoh was the reincarnation of the sun god, right? So if you go, you'll see that there you've got the red dot girls, the lesbian initiative, the red dot building systems, you've got some interesting red dots there, red dot radio, red dot solutions, red dot enclosures, red dot microphones. Is that chance? Well, let's go a little bit deeper. Might be chance, but we'll have to see. Who else can we see? And who else? And who else? And who else? You'll notice that on the people that have the communication as well, right? You've got just for the people that know that there's something going on inside, they'll put it there, Kai FM, Jacaranda, they've got the dot, East Coast Radio's got the dot. Right, it's just showing that this is really happening. Fin24, I've already shown you, Rand Air, Salati Sugar, Absa, I've given you already with the red dot, 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 red dot. And I mean, how many do you want? Right? There's even the Christian Resource Center. And you've got Has, you've got Comprex, you've got Lexus, you've got Nippon, you've got QDOT, you've got National Lottery, you've got Reconnet, you've got Rotary, you've got Business Connections, Fidelity, LG, Palm Media, ATM, bang, bang, bang. How many do you want? Bang, 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 bang. How many do you want? Chance? Or design? Have you seen that ad? Have you seen that one? The Coca-Cola ad? When you see it on TV again, just watch it carefully. You'll see that guy that gets the Coke, he's got this big red dot on his chest. He's got the sun symbol. And he puts a Coke, bang, right in the middle of this thing. It's very quick, but it's subliminal, and we're not supposed to know about it. Doesn't matter if it's from the Santon Chronicle with the Baal Hadad, with the red dot, or if it's Gelt or Tamat, or Errol Store with the Baal Hadad, or Benson and Hedges, or LG, or Canterbury of England. You see, Revelation is a stern warning. It says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, for who? I can't hear you. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Listen carefully now. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Oh, and by the way, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So all I'm showing you now, I'm just giving you visuals to show you that what's written in Revelation is actually correct. So I'm just making it clear, because when we read it, it doesn't make sense. So we say, whatever. Now you can actually just see it, because these people use symbols and not language. This is called the order of, or the chapter of 322. Right, it's called the various levels of the organizations. Anybody that wants to challenge this, please don't come and challenge me. Go and challenge the people that have written this. Right, you can get the resources. I always put the references at the bottom of the pages that you can go and do the research. This is what's called the various levels of the outer and inner circles. You've got the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers. We'll be looking at the Bilderbergers tomorrow night, by the way. And I'll show you video clips. Atlantic Council, Bohemian Club. And you've got a double layer group, which goes through to the inner core, the real inner core, which is the highest members of the organization. But that wedge is called the wedge. And that's the wedge in the eye that I showed you earlier. But you can also see it in other places that this is the information that's being controlled by these guys. And you see in this type of example, you see many images. You've got the Baal Hadad. You see this is a smaller one than that one. So it's the Baal Hadad plus it's the wedge. And for those of you that have taken the time to come for all the lectures, you will understand that there's a thing called the Hegelian principle. Right, Hegel, I'll show you tomorrow night. He passed away, but one of the things that he's done is he's left behind in the world what's called the thesis, antithesis or antithesis. And the Masons, do you remember what their slogan was called? I showed you the certificate, or I didn't, but Schnoebelen showed you his own personal certificate. What was on top? Can you remember? Ordo ab cao, which means order out of chaos. They create chaos in order to create order. So they'll take the black people in a country, and then they'll take the white people in the country, and they'll rub them together in order to get a democracy. Or they'll take Zimbabwe, and they'll take South Africa, and they'll do certain things in order to create an African Union. Right? This is a planned thing. It's been done since the days of antiquity. And what they're doing here is they're creating a wedge, a driving force to split up two forces to create the forces of thesis and antithesis in order to create the synthesis. And we'll discuss the synthesis or the synthesis tomorrow night. You can also see it from Canon. Interesting how they've done it in the inverse there with the wedge, but it's in the inverse. What about the Ouroboros? The Ouroboros is a symbol. It also, you see it, let me see if I've got a symbol there. You've got it, it's a snake eating its own tail. It comes from all over the place, but it's basically the garden of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. You won't surely die. You'll become as gods. This immortality idea of death and resurrection, right, which is obviously pertaining to the sun god, as I've explained in the previous lectures. You have the Ouroboros from ancient Egypt. You've got it in the Far East. Here you've got it in the Kabbalah, the Ouroboros and the Tree of Life, the good and the evil coming together. This is 6 and 7 coming together at the Tree of Life, right, which is what Adam and Eve were taken away from. Otherwise, there would have been a problem. The Theosophical Society, this lady that says that Lucifer is the Logos, the serpent, the savior, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, the highest occultist in the world. And she said that Lucifer is the Holy Ghost and Satan at one and the same time. That is her symbol there with that spinning sun symbol, as I've explained to you in the lecture on Islam, with the five-pointed star, which the Jews have been told is the Star of David. It's got nothing to do with the Star of David, as I've explained to you in the previous lectures. Here you've got the god Janush with the two heads looking this way and looking that way to the sunrise and to the sunset, the death, burial, and resurrection of the sun god. And there you have the Ouroboros. Now, this Ouroboros is a symbol of immortality, and you can find it all over the place in business. Right? You can see it with a red dot on some of the businesses. You'll have it on the Vodafone product, the same thing. But they've done it very, very cleverly because of the up, down, left, right, black, white, male, female, etc. You'll see that this one in Vodafone there has got the point up, and that one there has got the point down. So they're even showing that it's both way around, right? Lucent Technologies, that it was an interesting company that I had some dealings with. Alstom, you've got the Anthony Robbins companies, who I personally was trained by when I was still in the occult world and I hadn't given my life to Christ yet. A Mercantile Bank, Trent Micro, Bentley Nevada. There's some interesting ones. Some of them you can see are more likely than others, right? If you take Aspen Pharmaceutical, that's a very clear one. You can see immediately that it's quite clear. The same with Goodyear Ram. What on earth they would be doing with a symbol like that? Who knows except themselves? That Fin24, again, if you go back to Financial Times, you'll see exactly the same thing. Their symbol for the top companies was this hint of this Ouroboros, right? So let's go to world business and finance. Who's the white guy in this picture? I can't hear you. Dr. Chris Stoltz, right? He ran what? A Reserve Bank. Where? In South Africa. When? During the apartheid era, I heard at the back there, right? And who took over from him? Tito Mboweni. That's this gentleman over here. Now, before this happened, there was a signal picture which was put onto the Financial Mail. And for the people that understand the language, you could pick it up immediately. This is a fantastic signal picture. It's a perfect example where you've got Chris Stoltz looking down, pointing downwards towards Tito Mboweni, who's looking up over the glasses. This is like three or four of these different things. Chris Stoltz, the Reserve Bank governor, basically pointing towards who's going to take over from him. Right? So before the time, you already knew who, what, when, and how. If you go to just some interesting coincidences, I suppose you could call it, people that whose eyes have gone worse. It could be. Maybe the people, but then all it has to be is one thing, and then you have to go and see more and more and more and more and more and make sure that this is the case. Right? As it is with our chief of police, or what is his role? I think he's chief of police, Jackie Selebi. One of the interesting people in our country that just doesn't seem to be stopped somehow. Right? Oh, there's so many hand signals, I can't go into all of them. Right? But there's one which is in my lecture entitled An Image to the Beast, where I show exactly that image where the papacy is doing that towards Ronald Reagan. Very fascinating front cover on Time magazine and how the papacy looking at each other. Very interesting. But again, when the title says, "Tell us the truth, Mr. President," the signal is, "I can't," or "I won't," or whatever you want to put it. But there's a certain secrecy. You see, this is the symbol for Horus, which means, you know, which is obviously to do with certain elements which I've explained in my previous lectures, having to do with Isis, Horus, and Osiris, the chief solar deities from Egypt. But there have been certain challenges in our country, and we're saying, please, tell us the truth. What's going on with Selebi? What's going on with Zuma? Why aren't these people being stopped? And when their picture is put on there, they could have found a better picture. But if you don't understand that there's something going on, then you'll see it immediately. Right? The Greeks, through their contacts with Egypt, had adopted Isis. Isis was the sun goddess, right? The virgin Trigana, the virgin most chaste, the mother Krishna, the star of heaven, they called her Isis. And by the classical period, which was about approximately 500 years before Christ, they transmuted Isis into a goddess named Nike, right? And there you have goddess, the Nike, the goddess, the Greek goddess of victory. She's the ones that gives the wreath of Apollo to the people. So if you go to an Edgar's advertisement where they're advertising Nike, you can see that they know that this has to do with the goddess. Same with women's athletes, engineer. This has got to do with Wimbledon or some W. I think it's Wimbledon. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, the advertisement is for Nike, and you can see immediately this is the goddess. Right? But it's very, very cleverly hinted at so that you obviously, if you don't know the picture, don't understand the language, you won't get it. And then you've got Naspers. Interesting. Very powerful, very, very, very powerful company in the world. With the triangle, the Masonic triangle, NASA possibly with the orbit, very, very clever. It possibly is the orbit, corporate event standing, Kelly Tires. Have you noticed that there's lots of companies like SsangYong Musso that have got the double S, right? The double S is a symbol, and if you go and read the documents, I don't have it in this lecture, I've got it in a different lecture. It's a symbol for the arrow. Have you noticed that Harry Potter has got that thing on his forehead? Right, that's where it comes from. That is the symbol for the fallen angel, right? It comes from there. And I'm not saying that. The Satanists are saying it. And that's why when Mr. Tom Fosler gives a reward to giving the Phil Weber Prize to Mr. Malherbe, they give a Masonic handshake. Now, Masons have got many handshakes, right? You don't often pick up what they're about, but it's just, all it is it's an uncomfortable handshake where you put, depending on the level that you're at, you'll put your thumb on the different knuckle of the person that you're greeting. And like I've shown you earlier, there's when you're taking a picture between, say, for example, the Pope and Blair, it'll make a big impact, right? But between the little guys, it makes no difference. And if you're sitting in a subway and you understand the things about Big Brother, then you'll see why they would use the left eye. You see that? Right, that's just over and over and over and over showing you that it's the left eye. Thomas Carlyle says, and this is something that you can believe or not believe, by symbols is man guided and commanded. By symbols is man made happy or made wretched. He everywhere finds himself surrounded with symbols, recognized as such or not recognized. Right? It doesn't matter. If you don't want to accept it, that's fine. But just know that they're there, whether you want to recognize them or whether you don't want to recognize them. This is a language. It's a common platform for communication between the people in the know. And that's what I'm getting at in this lecture, is I'm showing you the two elements. You've got Jesus' network, which is split into two sections. And you've got Satan's network, which is split into multiple sections. And all of these are addictive. They pull you. They take you away from your efforts that the Lord is trying to ask you to work for Him and spread the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations the great commission that He's given us. And He will use whatever He has to individualize us. Because when you're a community, if you're a strong house, like a family, He will make sure that He tries to impact that somehow, either through divorce. If I can make the bricks of a building weak, the building crumbles, right? So if I can create the building blocks, which are the marriages of families, the building blocks of society, if I can weaken the marriages, the whole of society starts to crumble, right? And that's what is happening here with our children. And I want to use one example. Who's got a cell phone with them that's on at the moment? Can you pass me your cell phone? Can I, if you don't mind, will you come to the front? Can I ask a lady, any of the ladies here, to come up to the front? I just want to... Is it on? It's on, eh? Can you pass it to me here? Can I have a volunteer? Young or old, makes no difference. I can have a male as well if it's better. Any males that want to... I need a volunteer. Would you mind coming to the front? Yeah, I see nobody's coming up. Then I can just... Right? There's some stairs over there. If you can come up, I just want to show you an example of what happens. Just for the audience's sake, what is your name? Hanelin. Say hi, Hanelin. Hanelin, what I want you to do is I want you to stand square to the audience and I want you to lift your arm, right? Yes. And make a fist so it's nice and strong, right? And I want you to keep it flat. I want you to push up as much as you can. Not forward, keep it square. So push it like that, right? Keep your back square. That just straight next to you. I want you to lift up as hard as you can. I'm going to pull down, so that you know what your own strength is. Okay? Concentrate until you know your own strength. Okay? You know, okay. Right. Now, all I want you to do is I want you to hold the cell phone in your other hand, just for the people, put it on your chest or whatever, that they can see that you're holding it. Right? Now, give me this hand again. Now, push up the same way you did. Just say that again. Okay, just say that in here.
I can't. It's not as hard as I did it before.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to test. Just, okay, if you get your cell phone, please. Thank you, Hanelin. Okay, what's happening here? I'm just using an example there to show you what really happens. One of the reasons that cell phones, you've probably heard that cell phones are dangerous, et cetera, and they might cause cancer. I'm just giving an example of why that's the case, because it is the case. If I have to do physical labor and I pick up a wheelbarrow full of rocks and I push it from here to the speaker over there, it's going to weigh a certain amount. But if I put my cell phone on me and I carry the same thing, it's still going to weigh the same amount, but I have to put in so much more energy. You see, the cell phone's frequency, the frequency of the cell phone is out of sync with the frequencies of the body, right? The body has frequencies. And if we were to use up his airtime and I was to phone that cell phone, you would feel that you would have even less power, right? And that's why when we get home after a long day of carrying the cell phone on us, we're absolutely exhausted. And we don't know why. It's a way to, like if you want to be like a conspiracy theorist and you want to go to the extreme, you're so tired you wouldn't be able to read the Bible. Right? It's easier to climb into bed. But anything to take away the vitality of people and to take away the health and the strength of people, right? Just one example is what I've explained to you now. And that's why it's aimed at our children, right? Which is Mixit. What do you see on top? What do you see in the logo of Mixit? Can you see the Baal Hadad? Is it rocket science? No, it's not rocket science. What happened? Nimrod was the mason. He built the Tower of Babel, right? And people say that the Bible isn't true. Well, go and argue that with a Freemason. Don't argue it with a biblical scholar who's actually tested it. But argue it with a Freemason and try and tell a Freemason that Nimrod didn't exist. Of course he existed. And of course he built the Tower of Babel. It's historically proven, right? So he built the Tower of Babel, Bab-El, the gate to God, right? That's what he was trying to do, create another path to God. And on this path, he got up the nose of God because he was doing what? He was creating an opportunity to get to God. Now, did the Lord like it when all these things were together? What did he do? And he separated them. How did he do it? Through languages. Right? So the whole mixing together, is it God's idea? Or is it Satan's idea? Right? You see, because what's happening with Mixit is we're going back to the opportunities that were granted at the Tower of Babel where everybody's influenced by anybody, by anything. And I'll give you an example, and it's my own personal experience, and I can put the person on stage if you want to meet her. A lady that worked for me was constantly on Mixit, constantly. And I said to her, please stop it. Right, if you want to do that stuff at night, it's fine, but we're working at the moment and you need to just concentrate. Because have you noticed that your children, even though they're at the dinner table, they're not at the dinner table. It's how Satan is able to remove your child even though he's there. Right? It's the same thing. So I said to this girl, stop what you're doing, please. You're living in my home, you're working for me, and you'll obviously live under the rules that we provide while you're here. So, which she rejected, so we had to obviously part ways. But she went to go and move in with a guy that she met on Mixit, which is fine, I suppose, in the modern world. But she moved in with this guy, and a couple of weeks later, I got this frantic call, because obviously she didn't know this guy from a bar of soap. She met him on Mixit, and she met him the first time when he came to come and pick her up. But this guy was involved with heavy metal music, and I'm not even going to go into what else, but he was demon-possessed. Now, for those of you that understand how demon possession works, demons are able to be transferred through sexual intercourse, right? So, obviously, this young, innocent girl got sexually involved with this guy, and I got this frantic phone call because she'd been locked up. I said, what's going on? She says, I don't know what's happened. I said, why? Tell me what happened. She says, and she obviously had to be honest, she said, I was doing some other dance, I suppose it was a nude dance or whatever, for this guy on in front of his bed, and the next thing she woke up, she was covered in blood. I said, what happened? She said, she doesn't know. But the parents locked her in the room because she had bitten out the jugular vein on this boy. Right? Now, inside the satanic world, you do have vampires. William Schnurbelin, by the way, I showed you his DVD or his video clip the other night. He was one of the people that was addicted to blood. I think it was 2 liters a day or something like that. Right? Inside different levels of Satanism, you do get these things. So this is not like that they make up. It's real. And she had picked up this demon and was there involved with this guy and she was completely unaware of it. She woke up with blood on her body. Now, it's an extreme case. Yes, I understand. But it's a true example. It's happened in my own house, right? So this idea of mixing together is something that we as adults and parents and people that want to protect our children need to be very, very, very careful of, right? We might need to be a little bit stricter, and yeah, the children always come up with clever ideas of why they need it and et cetera, et cetera. But you're going to have to decide, do you want to go back to the principles of the Tower of Babel, of the mixing together of everybody? Or do you want to acknowledge the separation, come out and be separate, as is the biblical principle? And it's interesting that they are calling this Join the Evolution, right, which I have explained. Download, mix it, and you get it on your phone, and it's so cheap to do. Satan's plan is to get people under his own influence. That's all he wants, right? Thereby locking them in his grip until the day of judgment. So he set up many different marketing methods to gain control of our minds. Number one, he creates distractions that are appealing to the mind. It's much easier to read You magazine than what it is to read the Bible. It's much easier to watch TV than what it is to study the Word. It's much easier to play sport or whatever. And I'm not saying become a fanatic, but find a balance, right? So he creates distractions. And these distractions stimulate the senses because there's a battle for the mind, right? I'm closing off the lecture here, by the way, just in case you think that I'm going on for another 2 hours. I'm not. This is the summary, right? There's a battle for the mind. This is appealing to the mind. These are sensory stimulations that take place. You have two options. And you as adults have to guide your children through these two options. There is no combination or no, what's the word, a compromise between the two. Either you are going to be involved in this network or you're going to be involved in that network. Psychologically, you might read a magazine that does not make you a Satanist, right? However, we, the Lord says, we are in this world but not of this world or not from this world, right? If I was to show you all the occult symbols, like Toyota with Taurus the bull on it and BMW and Mercedes. Do you know that when Mercedes and Chrysler were registered, Chrysler was a 33-degree Freemason and so was Daimler. When they registered their companies, they registered the logos as occult symbols. Right? They were occultists, 33rd-degree Freemasons. And I've got the, from a Masonic calendar, I can show you the pictures if you don't believe me. So does that mean now we don't drive, now we must walk? What about LG? What about my microwave? You know, no, it's not about that. Through the past lectures, all I've done is I've shown you how far the Antichrist has gone into Christianity. I've shown you how far the Antichrist has gone into Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, all of the religions. I've shown you tonight or last night how far he's gone into the media. Tonight I'm showing you how far he's gone into business. Does it make sense? Tomorrow night I'm going to show you how far he's gone into politics. And if you are of the opinion that what we've discussed in the last lectures is accurate, then at the end of the week you're going to say, okay, so what now? Because there is nothing else that we can rely on. There's nothing left. Right? You can't rely on what you see on TV because it's being manipulated and controlled. You can't rely on what you're seeing in the various elements of this because it's not the way it's being taught to us it is. Number one, he creates distractions which stimulate the senses and they're appealing to the mind. So the children especially go for it. Everybody goes for something that's easier. Number two, he makes those things easily accessible. Like Mixit costs 1 cent or something per SMS. Right? So it's so easy. That doesn't mean, because McDonald's is convenient, does it mean it's healthy? No. Right? So don't get caught up with that idea. And then once you have the sensory stimulation and the ease of access, from there on it's downhill. From there onwards, we have a problem. And that's why the Lord is saying in Matthew 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that you might be concerned about will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought of the things of itself, but sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about what's coming tomorrow. There's enough problems there, right? Worry about what you got to do today. Worry about what the book is that you're going to read before you go to bed. Mills and Boone, does it make sense? Because there's a battle for the mind. You need to decide. Do you know that the Lord explains that every thought and every word will be coming back to us at the end of. We don't understand how that works. But in Matthew 12, the Lord says, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they'll be giving account thereof. How many idle words have I spoken in my life? Wow. This is not a threat. This is the Lord saying, listen, just clean yourselves up. Come back in line with my word and deal with the things as they should be. But understand that there is a battle for the mind. But please, put on the whole armor of God. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Once you've seen this lecture, does that start to make sense now? Right? Right?